How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for our new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 12th of September. The NBA is looking into the wrong issue and disadvantaging teams that need their help more than ever. We'll talk about it coming up. Plus, the likely outcomes for the Utah Jazz and a player that I think is going to be much more valuable than any of us have talked about. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us for our daily podcast, Locked On Jazz. We bring this to you each and every day. Hopefully you are a part of it by now. If not, thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you'll like it and make it a part of your regular podcast listening schedule. Put it on your list of podcasts you listen to each and every day. We'll be back to daily here very, very soon as the NBA season's right around the corner. The guys are all in town, or most of them, not all of them. Ricky's still playing in Euro basketball, but they've been around a lot. It was interesting. I was over at the U yesterday talking to an old friend, Chris Jones, who was at the U and then went to Utah State, now back at the U. And he said the guys have just been around all summer long. The Jazz players, a lot of them have been playing over at the Huntsman Center with regularity quite a bit. So good to hear, and hopefully good for Utah as well. So good to hear. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. They're having a lot of fun this month, and I'll tell you a little bit about what they're doing over at 4646 South State Street. And then I heard from my friend Devin Cash, who is of Equity Real Estate, and he said that he is going to continue to offer Jazz tickets. However, he's only able to do half seasons for a few clients because the lowest level of tickets were sold out. So basically, what he says, you know, full disclosure from Devin, because that's just the guy he is, he's given 15% of his commission back to you in Jazz tickets when you use Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. And so however you want to use that in your budget is up to you. So that's kind of a cool thing. So that's really awesome. Devin Cash, Equity Real Estate, sponsoring today's show as well. All right, I'm a little hot over something. There's all this talk about lottery reform. And the issue between lottery reform is, frankly, that Sam Hinkie scared the living hell out of everybody and went and did the tank for multiple years in a row, and it's going to work. And Philadelphia is going to be really, really good. And now they're terrified that other teams are going to look into it and do the same thing. I don't think, frankly, that tanking is that big an issue. I think a bigger issue might be the byproduct of whatever the new lottery rules are, particularly if they go to the rule where you can't have a top three pick every year. So let me back up. Let me back up in case you haven't been following it. It's always the mistake I make on this show for you, is that I often just have an assumed knowledge, and assumed knowledge is a bad concept. So because the lottery to somewhat incentivizes people to lose, and because the percentages in the lottery incentivize you to lose more, at least to some extent, what the NBA wants to do is the NBA wants to spread or lessen the difference between the team that finishes first and or with the worst record and the fourth worst record and the eighth record, so that you're not incentivized to lose. Okay, it sounds great on paper, but frankly, to me, it's dealing with a non-issue. I've never thought that tanking was, frankly, that big an issue. I think that Philadelphia pushed it to the limit and made people really wonder. But okay, Atlanta and Chicago are going to be terrible this year. But you know what? It gives their fans some hope and some belief and some idea that they might be able to go somewhere. The bigger problem that very well may come out of this is that when you suddenly are not very good anymore, you don't see the draft and losing for 3 years and going through the developmental process as a reasonable vehicle to getting better. And frankly, that's the biggest problem this league has. The system is built in an inequity toward larger market teams. And so therefore, those of us that are Indiana, Oklahoma City, Utah, that have just lost stars because they want to go to bigger markets and get more publicity, well, the only vehicle you have to go reacquire new stars is via the draft. Now, the flaw in the system is that even if you go acquire them through the draft and develop them perfectly on their second chance, their first chance, most of them aren't to it, there's a real chance they leave you. The biggest problem that's going on in this league right now is that more and more there's in the path to winning for a smaller market team is much more difficult than the path to winning for a large market team. Now, if you're incompetent like the Knicks, you just suck. The Lakers have been relatively incompetent, but watch when they sign Russell Westbrook and Paul George in the offseason or LeBron James, how frankly, without doing anything right, they're going to be able to rebuild their franchise. We'll see what Chicago can do in the third largest market. But the inequity in this league is that the Jazz have built incredible suites, incredible new products, and the Knicks build the same product and get five times the money for them. So it's from a revenue standpoint, what you're able to spend, everything about the system, and thus what you're able to compete with, is built in an unequal with an advantage to larger market franchises. And now you want to go address this minor little issue on the left because it just doesn't look good and it doesn't have a good feel to it about lottery reform. Well, if you're going to do that, then let's fix the other issue, which is that you are not allowing a much bigger issue, which is that you're not giving a level playing field to the small market teams in now two of the three mechanisms by which you build a team. You can either build a team through free agency, through trades, or through the draft. It is not a fair game trying to play free agency as long as there's a max salary. The max salary gives the large market teams an incredible advantage. If you can get paid the exact same to be in a large market and a small market, you are always going to go to the large market, or 90% of the time. If there's a max salary on what you can pay players, and then you can use your other stuff. They've done a better job of this recently with the latest collective bargaining agreement, but you can afford, if you're Golden State, to pay $50 million of luxury tax because their new building is going to be unbelievable. And Golden State's done almost everything right. They deserve great credit. But frankly, the Knicks could go pay a ton of money right now over the luxury tax if they wanted because they're making so much money in their building. Whereas for the Jazz, when the salary cap's at $110 million, it's frankly hard for the Jazz to come up with enough revenue, even with all their new additions, to make that work without revenue share. Maybe even impossible. So you have free agency, which is not an even playing field. You have trades, which frankly are no longer an even playing field. Kyrie Irving has 2 years left on his deal. But I think Kyrie Irving sent pretty clear message to various people that he wasn't willing to sign there again. So you can't go just trade for people now. You can't go trade for Paul George when he's got a year and a half left on his deal. He's telling you he's always going to go to L.A. And contracts are so short with all mostly four-year deals now with player opts. You're not going anywhere in that regard. So trading has been suddenly eliminated a little bit. And now you want to go make sure that somebody doesn't decide to build entirely through the lottery. Okay, you know what? So what? If someone's willing to embark upon losing for multiple years and they're in a smaller market and they can get enough collection of talent, then maybe they can become a desirable enough franchise to be able to trade for a player or sign somebody in free agency who wants to go there because they've built this cornerstone of players through the draft. And if you're eliminating that route, then you're just screwing these teams. This is a non-issue for the well-being of the competitive balance of the league. It's a semantical bad look on the league. It's all about the outside perception. And they're going to change it, and it's going to go through, and it's terrible. Because the structure of the system is so unfair with the power of the players right now to the non-major markets, that to try to do, yes, they're going to fix this problem that they've identified, which is that the teams are incentivized into losing. That, in their minds, is a problem. You can decide whether that's a problem. And yes, the NBA is going to fix that problem in this system. But the ripple effect of it is that they once again cut off the legs of the smaller markets in the one mechanism by which they have a chance to build a franchise that gives them a chance to build through free agency and trades, which they don't have a chance to do otherwise. And it's, in my opinion, a non-issue. The issue is that the system is built entirely advantageously for larger markets. And since I hate being a complainer without an answer, the answer is you get rid of the max contract. You get rid of the max contract. Then if you want to go sign Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, you got to pay them both. Unless Durant does what he does this year. And then if you've got an organization that's good enough that they're willing to do that, congratulations. But if the Lakers want to sign Russell Westbrook and Paul George, then it absolutely up all their cap. And a team like the Jazz or the Atlanta Hawks or somebody else can try to rebuild their franchise with depth, maybe with defense, with things that are not being paid for at the same level. But the max contract makes it so that the large markets have an advantage much larger than any issue involving the lottery in the draft. That's what I got to say about it, and don't doubt it. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Murdoch, congratulations to the Murdoch family. They are opening their sixth different location in Logan. And in turn, they are having all sorts of fun with it, and they've decided that they're kind of doing a grand opening for all of their places. Here's the really important thing. 2017 Elantra, $5,750 off. $5,750 off. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. The Sonata, great deals available on that as well. And when you look at these, the prices, when you start taking $5,000 off, you're just getting an unbelievable value. Plus, you always get the Hyundai Assurance 100,000-mile 10-year warranty. I had a guy, a listener the other day, says he's moving back into town, needs a new car. Emailed me. I gave him a contact over at Murdoch Hyundai so he'd have a special experience. That's what we want you to have over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. So if you're going to head over there, feel free to drop me an email. I'll give you the contact person. You reach out to him, and we'll get you that one-on-one experience. Hopefully no pressure. Promise you no regrets. That's exactly what they're all about, is the no-regret experience, the Murdoch family experience. And I would strongly suggest that you take a look at that Santa Fe. I drove that Santa Fe, really, really loved that Santa Fe when I drove it. I haven't driven the Sonata or the Elantra yet. Maybe I can get them to to let me drive the Elantra next. We'll see. Or maybe it's the Sonata. I don't know. Which one would I rather drive? I'll have to find out. I'll find out a little bit more about those two cars and see which one, what experience I want to have next, and I'll share that with you. So check it out. The Sonata is discounted right now. I mean, the regular MSRP on that, I think, is like $23,000, and they're taking $5,000 off. Like, I can do the math on that. That's a good deal. 4646 South State Street in Murray. There's a lot of conversation going on about Ricky Rubio. He's shooting well. He's playing pretty well right now. Very, very impressed by he's playing in Eurobasketball, and he's playing better than he has, frankly, and shot better, and he did at the end of last year too. You're beginning to get an extended sample size that gets you a little bit excited. I will say there's limited amount in his resume that says this is realistic, right? So, you know, I keep getting the text message or the Twitter message to, hey, do you think that Ricky Rubio's 40% shooting is realistic? And you know what the answer is? No, I don't. I'll be really honest. No, I don't. Like I want it to be because I'm a Jazz fan. But if you if you just suddenly are really honest about this and say, now, wait a second. If I, you know, as a Jazz fan, if I look at this and I'm not a Jazz fan, I wouldn't buy it. In February, he shot 32% from three. In March, he shot 44% from three. And then in a weird end of the year, he went 3 of 20. And now he seems to be a little bit better. It's not clear. What is interesting right now is how much he's shooting. Okay, that's the thing that jumps out right now is how much he's shooting. He's taking, I think, seven shots per 48 minutes from three. And that, I think, is kind of the more eye-opening piece there is how often he's shooting and with what confidence. And let's see. And you know Quinn is going to instill confidence in him and tell him to play with a freedom that he probably hasn't been told before. I thought Nate Duncan made an interesting, really interesting conversation piece on our preview, if you didn't hear it on Dunked on Basketball, about Nikolai Pekovic. So Pekovic was kind of this, you know, the injuries derailed his career, but he's a guy who kind of came out of nowhere. He's 5-point-a-game guy, becomes a 14-point-a-game guy, becomes a 16, becomes an 18% guy. And you know, just was too healthy. He's over the 275 rule. He was 300 pounds. If you weigh over 275 pounds, over 280, you can't stay healthy in the NBA. There's just too much if you're over 6'10". And if you're, by the way, if you're under 220, you can't stay healthy either. There's just way too much burden on your body. And so that's what happened to Peck, and it's sad. But here's a big man who exploded for 2 years, 2012, 2013, and 2013, 2014, with Ricky Rubio as the point guard. And you kind of wonder a little bit if you went back and looked like how much of his buckets were assisted and what was he able to pull off during those time periods and how much is it because of Rubio. And I think that's an interesting kind of conversation piece to keep an eye on because there's a chance that that's what he's going to be able to do a little bit with, you know, his average shot was 4 feet away from the basket. His 2-point field goals were assisted 65% of the time in those 2 years. I don't know if that's a high number or a low number. And this wasn't a guy dunking. He only had 33 dunks as most in his career high in any season. But those are Rubio creating opportunities for Peck. And if Rubio is creating opportunities for Peck, then I think that that's a good sign for Gobert. The player that to me, I think is going to be much more valuable in a bigger deal than anyone kind of talked about since when we signed him is Jarebko. So first thing is Jarebko played 16 minutes a night last year in 78 games for Boston, who had the number one seed in the East. Like, he's a pretty good player. Like, when you think about Boston, they lost Olynyk and Jarebko and Amir Johnson. I mean, they really lost a lot of guys. And Jarebko's got, and we can isolate all, you can look at Jarebko and you can talk about all of his flaws, right? Like, his rebounding percentage is the percentage of rebounds you get when you're on the floor. So if everybody was an equal rebounder, everybody would get 10%. There's 10 players, 100%. Okay, he's an 11% rebounding percentage guy, I think. I mean, if I'm right on that. 12%. All right, so he, at 6'10", is grabbing rebounds at about the rate of, a guard. Great, okay. But here's a guy who plays with teammates well. He unusually 2 years ago went to the free throw line at a really high strange rate that if he were to replicate and then last year didn't go at all. If you actually kind of look at him, he actually had a pretty good free throw rate throughout his career in Detroit. Then he got to Boston, had a good free throw. And then last year, all of a sudden, he just became a spot up 3-point shooter. 50% of his 3-point attempts were assisted. He really just became almost an exclusive. He took 50% of his shots from three. His rate of usage went way down. In Detroit, he was averaging about 15, 16 shots per 48 minutes or 100 possessions, I think is what I'm looking at, and he went down to 11. But so, and in turn, all these things have just kind of made him off the radar. But on the other end, let's take the positives here for a second. He's 30 years old. He knows how to play the game. He's a good decent ball handler for his size, 6'10". He can pass. He's a good shooter. He's 35% from three for his career. With last year, when he kind of changed his game, it went the other way. If you actually take for a second and eliminate his first 3 years of his career, this is where I think Jarebko gets really interesting. This is why I think he's going to be a player that is much better than people realize. If you go look at Jarebko for a second, in the first 3 years of his career, 22, tears his Achilles in his 23 year, comes back, 24 plays, is not particularly good. No one is off Achilles. 25 coming off Achilles, still not great. If you take those 3 years, he was 91 of 304 from three. 29.9%. All right, that's not good. But let's go take a second and look at what he's been since, because that's where this gets pretty exciting. And if you look at him of what he's been since in the following years, you suddenly have a guy that's 175 for 452. That's 39% from three. Since the beginning of the 2013-14 season, Jarebko is shooting 39% from three. He is also predominantly an above-the-break three-point shooter, which stretches out defenses differently than if you're playing in the corners. His corner three-point shooting percentage at times has been really good. Last year was 36%, but it's not a high. It's not always a high percentage. Last year, he became more of a three-point shooter. The years prior, he was not. So here's a guy who's 6'10". He's not great defensively. The Achilles probably still has slowed him down a step, but he's smart, knows how to play. I think he can play the five or the four. Maybe I'm nuts. He hasn't played his position allotment has not been. He played 21% of his minutes last year at the five. I would suspect he'll actually probably be there again this year. I think our fives will be Favors. I think our fives will be, or Gobert, Favors, and Jarebko will be our fives this year. And then Udo, frankly. I don't know how we're going to get all the minutes there. Maybe Favors and Gobert are going to play a lot of minutes together. And then he'll play his power forward, stretch 4 minutes in some sort of lineups. But I actually think we'll see more of him as a five. And I think he'll be far better than people realize. Another kind of interesting note on him is last year in Boston, when he was on the floor, they were plus three. When he was off the floor, they were minus 0.4. When he was on the floor in 15-16, they were plus three. When he was off the floor, they were minus 0.3. I don't know. The year before, when he only played 29 games, acquired midseason for Boston, he was plus 11. They were plus 13 when he was off the floor. But that's still plus 11. His Final year in Detroit, they were plus three with him on the floor. Prior to that, the numbers weren't as good. But I think Jonas Jerebko is a guy that you're going to look at and see and have a different feeling about than you do right now. Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. I told you a little bit about him before. Let me make sure I fill in the gaps, by the way, because I need to give you the phone number if you want to use Devin and things like that. So his phone number is 801-759-1495. Two free season tickets or some version of that value when you buy or sell a home with Devin. I mean, the guy's trying to get you great seats and they aren't available. That tells you about it. Devin is just he's a super dude. And it's been so fun to have Zach Campbell and Kyle Diener and Tim and Whitney McKay and Ryan and Natalie Gubler, who worked with Devin. Ryan and Natalie wrote to me, we work with Devin as our realtor buying our first home. He's always extremely responsive with texts back super quickly, even outside our normal business hours. He always went above and beyond when it came to walking us through the home buying process. He's an amazing resource and a genuinely good guy. It's really been neat for me to sponsor Devin now for over a year and have Devin sponsor us and then have him come back with these great stories. We're so happy Devin was our realtor, both in purchasing our new home and selling our old home. Devin's knowledge and experience helped reduce the worry in sometimes stressful situations, tireless hard work, kindness in every interaction, and made us feel supported on every step of the way. Devin also mentioned to me kind of a cool deal. Let me see if I can find this note that he sent me. So if you're relocating, this is kind of an interesting thing. His firm offers relocation service where he can refer anyone in the nation to an agent and check up on things from here to see how they're doing. So that's another one. If you got to leave, Devin can help you on both ends. He can help you sell your house here, and then he can also set you up with a relocation service that can refer you to whoever, and he'll keep a tab on that. Devin Cash, put it down, 801-759-1495. Call or text, 801-759-1495. The guys are in town and playing a little bit. I'm going to actually start sitting down and interviewing them today. I'm looking forward to that kind of experience. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll share it with you. I read both Grit by Angela Duckworth and reread The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle. It's both about elite performance and how you have success and things of that nature. And I'm going to try to see if I can get these guys to talk about that aspect of their careers and in their lives. So, you know, when they hear perseverance, what does that mean to them? And what defines passion to them? And what allowed them to have the hope that they would make it? And you know, Talent Code talks about deliberate practice at a great rate. What are the things in deliberate practice that they experienced? Were they, you know, detail oriented things? What's been the most difficult thing for them in their careers to try to improve? And how have they fought through that frustration when other things are so? Hopefully, it'll be interesting. We'll do the fun stuff as well, and I'll make sure I share them with you here. So that is the plan for today. Royce O'Neal, by the way, who I know very little about, is getting some rave reviews from people around. You know, I think we have 16 guys on the roster, so I think there's I think there's a battle, and I think Royce is one of them. I don't believe, I you know, they didn't release the details on it. I don't think he's a two-way deal, is he? But I heard good things about Royce O'Neal. One, people kind of feel like this is a guy who went to the University of Denver to start his career, and then he finished up at Baylor, and he just is kind of that all-around 10.6 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal guy at Baylor. He's not a great shooter naturally, but he's got the one thing he has that I think sometimes happens. Joe Ingles fit this. He's been a role player or a teammate for all of his career. And so when he went last year to Germany and played, or I think that might have been 2 years ago, 15-16 season, you know, he's 8 points, five rebounds, an assist or two, and he's just comfortable playing a role amongst players. Last year he was in Spain, 8 points, five rebounds, two assists. That's just kind of who he is, and was a good defensive player, and he's really comfortable in that role, not trying to be more than that. So keep an eye on him. I think there's an interesting I think he'll be a story of training camp, right? We don't have a lot of roster battles or how we're going to use the team, or what the rotation's going to be, and how Quinn's going to figure that out in five games, two of which are not NBA games. I got no idea. But I think that's an interesting one. Alec Burks is on the floor, been playing a lot, seems healthy. So that might be a nice added boost as well. And talk to Derek. I get to talk to Derek coming up. We'll see how he's doing, but I think he's out there and healthier than he was probably at any point all of last year. Fun days ahead. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks very much for tuning in. Greatly appreciate your support. If you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. We're filling out the inventories. A few weeks are gone already. But we're filling out the inventory for the season. So if you'd like to advertise, let me know. dlock09@gmail.com. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.